Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and you can follow me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and another underscore after that. We also got the Locked On Pistons Twitter at Locked On Pistons, very cleverly and easily titled there as well. And just as I suspected, on Tuesday night in downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena, a proud team came out strong, played great D, ran in transition, took care of a careless and unfocused opponent, and got back on track to hopefully put a tough stretch behind them. But unfortunately, it was the Denver Nuggets that I'm talking about, playing the role of a team that got their act together, dogging the helpless Pistons 103-84 at Little Caesars Arena, making it seven straight losses for the Pistons, who are now a measly one game over 500 at 14-13. The struggle continues for the Pistons, and you can't blame this one on the schedule as Denver came in on a tough road trip and took care of the Pistons, who desperately needed a win and are now refocusing themselves before the schedule lightens up a little bit, hopefully, but the mood in the locker room is probably not where you want it to be. We're going to break down the game. The Pistons lost to the Nuggets that you probably want to forget. And we're also going to tell you the bellwether sign about how you can know early on whether the Pistons will win or lose. And we'll also talk about some ideas about where the Pistons will go from here. And I want to hear your ideas as well. And maybe we'll talk about some of those on Thursday's podcast. But since it's Wednesday, that means it's Draft Wednesday. And on the Draft.com and Draft app, you can join us for a Locked On Pistons one-day daily fantasy contest. When you sign up, use promo code LOPISTONS, and whatever you load into your account, we'll tack on another $3. We'll get you in the free Locked On Pistons contest. So go ahead and follow me on the app at Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, all one word there. And we can get you into the Draft.com app. You'll love it. Everyone who's been doing it has loved it as well. I'm just very disappointed, though, today about the effort of the Pistons in Tuesday night's game. Came home from work and had to watch that, just like many of you did as well. Stan Van Gundy, it seems like he just doesn't know what buttons to push right now. The team had eight turnovers in 8 minutes in a game where they wanted a big start. I predicted on Tuesday's podcast that they would blow out Denver after coming out strong, but the starters were just abysmal throughout the entire game. All despite the shakeup that Stan Van Gundy made in the starting lineup, coincidentally sitting Stanley Johnson and starting Reggie Bullock instead, didn't work at all as the Nuggets took control early on and were pretty much in control throughout the game. As Jamal Murray, the Canadian, had 28 points for a game-high effort for Coach Michael Malone's team. Wilson Chandler of Benton Harbor had 18 points in a homecoming for him, so congratulations to Wilson and those of the Benton Harbor area who followed his career. I'm sure it's fun to have been following his career through DePaul, through the New York Knicks, and now through the Denver Nuggets. Monte Morris, along those same lines of Flint and Iowa State, he made his NBA debut on Tuesday night in his home state. He had limited minutes, played about 3 minutes of garbage time, but still congratulations to Monty and the people of Flint for one of their sons becoming an NBA player officially, and you can't argue any way against it now as he's been on the court in a game and in Michigan to boot, for that matter. So the Nuggets improved to 5-10 on the road and 2-3 on this road trip. They had lost three out of the four games in their road trip and were ripe for a beatdown, but the Pistons could not make that happen as Detroit committed 20 turnovers, with many of them coming early when the game was still in question. To make matters worse, Anthony Tolliver, who's been one of the bright spots of this team throughout the entire season, broke his nose in the first half. He'll be apparently wearing a mask for a while, and we'll see if that impacts his play from AT. The veteran is playing really well so far. Stanley Johnson, he didn't start and only got to the game in the third quarter when it was pretty much out of hand and all but decided at that point. Langston Galloway had 18 points in 22 minutes, including 5 of 7 from three-point land, so he was a bright spot. Along with Boban Marjanovic, he had 14 points and 5 rebounds. The Boban people probably loved that as he was productive in limited minutes, and maybe there are signs that he's pretty much the backup center now, with John Lohr still on the men and Eric Moreland getting his minutes slashed as time goes on. The starters were just awful for the Pistons. Reggie Jackson was the only one in double figures. He had 12 points and just ugly. Plus, the plus-minus for all the starters was somewhere between negative 23 and negative 29. Andre Drummond was the worst defender with that negative 29. And the big four, the guys that the Pistons rely on for their offense, for their defense, for their leadership, talking about Tobias Harris, Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, and Avery Bradley, those four starters and mainstays of the team combined for 7 of 31 from the field, just not getting it done. Bradley and Harris were the two worst ones on the day, but not much better for Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond as the Pistons continue to struggle. But if you don't want to waste your whole night and watch Pistons games like that, I'm going to give you a trick that you can watch early on to see. They'll have to give you a really good idea whether the Pistons are going to win or lose pretty early on in the game. If watching a specific guy, watching a specific thing. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men. What's up, fellas? And 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Story of my life. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com to find out. Got a couple of clients emailing me already, so join them on board as well and get involved with Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
Well, I got some ideas on what the Pistons should do to try to right the ship and turn things around, and I hope you do too. So reach out to me on Twitter at matt_schoch@schoch or email me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com with your ideas. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, Locked On Pistons, reach out there as well too, and I'll have some of my ideas a little bit later. But I don't know what to say. You know, I came into the 6-game losing streak and I said, you know, it's all schedule. I figured the Pistons might go 3-5, 3-6 during that tough 9-game stretch that they had, and they did. It's just that they won a couple of the games early on that maybe we didn't expect them to win, at Oklahoma City and then at Boston, and then came back and took care of business against Phoenix and then went on the 6-game losing streak, which turned into 7 on Tuesday night. No, very winnable, a game they should have won against Denver at home. So I'm not going to kick and scream right now. I'm sick. I'm under the weather. So this team in mid-December isn't worth me going Valeni on Michigan State or something like that and just going nuts on the podcast. Maybe we'll have a flame out like that later in the year or something like that. But it's a Tuesday night. I'm not going to go nuts right now. But if you want some indications about whether you want to waste your night or ruin your night and watch these Pistons win or lose, I get a first quarter solution for you. If you just want to check out the first quarter, and maybe you'll know right away, because I believe offensively, as Avery Bradley goes, so does the Pistons. In 14 wins this year, AB is shooting 46.9% from the field and 47.4% from three. And in the 13 losses, including his abysmal 6-point performance on Tuesday night against the Denver Nuggets, where he went 2 for 10 and 0 for 1 from three-point land, he's shooting 37.1% from the field and 34.8% from three. So that is almost a full 10 points better, 10 percentage points better in a win, and a full 13% three-point land, you know, a lot better in wins and a lot worse in losses. 17.3 points per game in wins and 13.8 points per game in losses. And I feel like those good nights, the tells are there early, whether he's knocking down the mid-range jumper, knocking down a three-pointer or two early on, and maybe even getting some easy looks through some nice back cuts where Andre Drummond's finding him. Maybe he's got the right defender on him that he can kind of sneak by for some backdoor cuts, or effectively come off the dribble handoff if the other team isn't communicating how to defend the dribble handoffs. Maybe Avery can get off of that with an easy jumper, or maybe get to the basket for something too. Also, I just feel like maybe he defensively can get a steal and get in transition and go out there and get something going too. So again, those numbers are pretty telling for if Avery Bradley's playing well offensively and he's scoring the ball, then the Pistons might be in pretty good shape. But if he's not, then they're in pretty rough shape. And wow, because he just played so well early on when the Pistons were playing well, and now he's going through a tough stretch while the Pistons are going through a tough stretch. And, geez, he just looks really bad offensively. He's coming off, and again, just like I was saying when Rip Hamilton was doing it back with the Pistons, and I know I wasn't hosting a podcast back then, so I don't have any evidence of this, but I was kind of a little bit ahead of the analytics game and how much people hated those mid-range jump shots. I hated them even when players I played with and when I was growing up in basketball shot them. I mean, why are we shooting 15-footers? I mean, we either should be shooting three-pointers or getting to the basket and making free throws and scoring in the paint. So I've always kind of thought that, and Avery Bradley's kind of that mid-range jump shooter for the Pistons. And the Pistons aren't an advanced offensive team. They don't have a superstar, so you got to take points how they can come. And Tobias Harris has been struggling enough lately where his offense hasn't been what it was throughout the first 10, 15 games of the season. So you got to rely on Avery Bradley's mid-range game to some extent. It's not like it's going to go away, and it's not like it's something that's going to be erased out of the playbook. But when he's going bad, man, it's just not looking good. He's got a decent-looking jump shot, but I think it's not very he doesn't repeat it very well. It's not as bad as Stanley Johnson, who's kicking out his legs every other time he shoots. But Avery Bradley sometimes isn't repeating that motion very well. And he's coming off of the screen, and we noticed it when he got fouled late in the Celtics game and they didn't call it. But a lot of times when he's coming off those dribble handoffs, his defender is going above the screen as well, so kind of following Avery Bradley and trying to contest the shot at awkward angles. They're coming from the maybe his not his back, but his side and back, like kind of coming to him from three quarters or something like that, where they're trying to get a hand up, not in the conventional way where you're getting a hand up in someone's eyes or towards the ball, but they're kind of coming at him from a weird angle. So I wonder if maybe that's something that he is struggling with when you talk about defenders coming at him from a weird angle while he's shooting. So maybe that's something that he can practice on and get a little bit better as the season goes on in terms of, you know, making sure that he's still extending and doing the form that he needs to do with his jump shot, even though that there's defenders coming at him from weird motions. So that's something to keep an eye on. I wonder if Stanley Johnson was laughing just a little bit on the inside while he was watching this game. Not to suggest that he's looking for his team to have rough outings, but when he missed the entire first half after starting pretty much every game this season up until now, it seemed like an extreme solution to by Stan Van Gundy to what they see as a problem of, you know, Stanley Johnson struggled. He struggled a lot, and even when he's on, he's not a great offensive player. But to not play your best small forward option for most of the game after starting him pretty much all season seemed like a pretty extreme thing for Stan Van Gundy to do. He's, even when he's a little banged up like he is right now, he's an effective defender, and he's better than Reggie Bullock. He's better than Luke Kennard, certainly defensively from the three spot. And I don't think Tobias Harris, I don't think there's much plans to have him playing in small forward anymore, as we can gather so far this season. So I'm not a big Stanley Johnson fan. I mean, there's a lot of Pistons fans who like him a lot more than me. I don't hate him as many as some of you people do out there. He's 21 years old, and he's developing, and he's shown signs this year of being a pretty effective player. But he, like I said, he's their best small forward option. He's got to be out there. He's got to have – got to be getting some minutes. I don't think, are we going to go through year three of Stan versus Stanley? Is this what's going to be? I mean, if that's the case, maybe he needs a bit different environment. And you've, as Stan Van Gundy, the coach, has kind of tied Stan Van Gundy, the president's hands a little bit with hurting his value by putting him on the bench and messing with his head a little bit. So I just, again, I hate to be negative day in and day out about the Stanley Johnson situation, but it's ultimately the thing that they're going to have to figure out if they're going to want to take the next level as an organization. Now, that's not going to – I'm not talking about breaking this losing streak and getting on to having a good finish to the month of December. I'm talking about taking the next step and becoming, you know, more than just barely a playoff team or whatever they are right now, because right now they're not much at all. I mean, Stan Van Gundy tried to push some buttons, and it did not work. And I like Stan Van Gundy. I think he's a smart basketball mind. I think he's a good coach. But – you know, this move with Stanley Johnson, some of the things, I think there was a tweet alluding to the fact that Reggie Jackson might have said something kind of derogatory towards Van Gundy, or maybe a sly type of thing that he might have said. I don't know how much the years of playing for Stan Van Gundy has worn on some of these guys, and it might be something to look out for. But I got some ideas, and I wonder if you do too. So I'm going to share mine, and I'm hoping that you guys will share yours with me, and maybe we could talk about them on Thursday's podcast as well. So what do you do if you're Stan Van Gundy and you're trying to figure out how to break this 7-game losing streak and get the Pistons back onto the early season track that they were on? Stan Van Gundy, after the game, according to Rod Beard from Twitter tonight, "We didn't do anything tonight," Stan Van Gundy said. "We didn't compete. We didn't play well. And we didn't bring any energy to the game. That's on me as a coach. I've got to find the answers. I'm not running from the responsibility. This is on me. I selected the players. I decide who plays. I decide what we run on offense. I decide how we play defense. That was an embarrassment tonight, and that's on me. So what do you do? I think that Stan Van Gundy, first of all, they put Henry Ellenson at the five late in the game. They've done some lineup things. They brought Boban in the last couple of games as kind of a desperation heave. They put Reggie Bullock into the starting lineup tonight as well. I think the two guys that need to get more minutes are Langston Galloway. I don't quite understand why he lost his way out of the rotation. He shot the lights out early, struggled a little bit, and then had a nice game on Tuesday night, scoring 18 points. He was kind of, him and Boban were really two of the only positives for the Pistons in that game. I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand why Galloway found his way out of the rotation. So maybe more minutes for him at the two, maybe even some ball handling minutes for him as well, and moving Luke Kennard to the three as much as you can to get him out there against, you know, obviously you don't want him defending all-stars at the wing out there. But if you could squeeze as many minutes as you can from Luke Kennard at the three, freeing up more minutes for Langston Galloway at the two, that would be helpful. Obviously, Luke Kennard at the three is not ideal because you need more size and more defense from that position. But Stan Van Gundy, the president, has not made that happen. They relied too much on Stanley Johnson going into this year, knowing that he was coming off of such a miserable second year of last year, and they came in without much depth at that position too, with Reggie Bullock kind of still an unknown quantity, and what you've known about him isn't really that exciting of an NBA rotational player anyway, and coming in with the drug suspension didn't help matters. Not that at this point in the season that matters really anymore, but just, you know, you had your worst starter is your three, and then your worst backups are the players who your backups are the three. So it's kind of a rotation problem, kind of a roster problem that Stan Van Gundy has presented himself with, and didn't address that in the draft, didn't really address that in free agency either. Anthony Tolliver could get some minutes at the wing. Tobias Harris could get some minutes at the wing. Maybe John Luehr getting back at some point in a couple weeks helps that out by moving a guy down a little bit. But they're going to have to try some things. And like I said, Langston Galloway and Boban, those are two guys that Stan Van Gundy, the president, went after and threw a lot of money at. Langston Galloway very early on in free agency this year picked up that three-year, $21 million deal. Boban last year got the four-year offer sheet, took him away from San Antonio. And there's nothing different about Boban than there was when he was in San Antonio. He's an offensive force. He'll get you, you know, some guys in foul trouble defensively. He'll commit a lot of fouls on the defensive end. He's slow-footed. He's not particularly good rim protector, and he's going to create some defensive problems for your team. But that's the guy that Stan Van Gundy threw a four-year contract at. So if he was good enough to throw a four-year deal at and pry him out of Greg Popovich's apparently willing hands, then he should probably give him a chance. And I know, look, I know that we're all on board with the reasons that Stan Van Gundy has not played Boban. And Eric Moreland was a pretty good energy guy for a couple games there, a few games there. Give him credit. He did well, and he's obviously fallen out of favor a little bit here. But you got to see Boban. I mean, you got to see it. And really, you know, we're talking about Langston Galloway. We're talking about Boban. Those are you know, parts of the equation. But the bigger problems that the Pistons had on Tuesday night, obviously, are the stars of this team. Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, Avery Bradley, Tobias Harris. If all four of those guys are going to have miserable nights, they're going to lose, regardless of who they play, regardless of anything else. So those guys need to step up. What you need to do to get those guys going, I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Pistons Nation. I wonder, is there players that you think need to play more? Do you think Henry Ellenson needs to get out there? And why? So what do you think? Is there a trade that's out there that's obvious? Obviously, Paul George is out there, and his name is thrown around all the time by Pistons fans. I don't think that's realistic or ever going to happen for Detroit. But are there other names? Are there small forward guys out there? And then you got to weigh the decision of taxing the future a little bit to help the present. So the good news is, so I want you guys to reach out for me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. I'll put out a question sometime on Wednesday during the day to ask for your opinions, and we'll read some of them on the air, and we'll have a little fun with that as well. So do that to me sometime on Wednesday, and on Wednesday night when I tape Thursday's podcast, we'll get into some of that. The good news is that they got Atlanta coming up on Thursday, the 6-21 Hawks, the tanking Hawks, who have lost two in a row, and they have basically one win against Cleveland this year and haven't beaten anyone good other than that. They've lost most of their games lately, other than splitting back-to-backs with Orlando and Brooklyn. So those aren't anything to write home about either. Dennis Schroeder's playing pretty well for them. They've got a talented rookie in John Collins, but we're going to get into that team a little bit more on Thursday's podcast as well. But rejoice. It should be a win. Fingers crossed. God willing, we're going to break this losing streak and then go into a tough back-to-back on Friday night against the surging Indiana Pacers to see what this Pistons team is really made of in the near future. But I want to hear from you. What do you think Stan Van Gundy should do? Send me some suggestions, and we'll go through them on Tuesday's pod. It's also Draft Wednesday, so get on draft.com, get on the Draft app. I'm imploring you, if you listen to this podcast and you enjoy this free content every day, get on there and support one of our sponsors. Get in touch with me if you don't know how. So we're going to talk about the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to talk about your ideas for what the Pistons can do to turn the ship around. And we're going to have some fun on Thursday's podcast, and hopefully I'll be feeling a little bit better and be a little bit more coherent as we go through that. But I want to thank you for listening again and taking the time out of your day to roll with the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and have a good day, everyone.